What up, fam? On this episode of Snapback Sports Pod, we preview Monday Night Football, Dolphins Saints, which leads to a conversation around our bet. Eagles, Ravens, Dolphins potentially tied up at 8-7 2 weeks ago. We talk stock up, stock down, and the whole NBA Christmas slate, followed by a convo on LeBron and his Lakers.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankle.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over. Bryant with the jumper. And the Lakers lead.
Mamba out. What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
I know I usually play... Sorry, I'm a little under the weather. Not COVID. Two tests, both negative. I'm boosted, bro. I know I usually play doctor, but I want to bounce something off you because I have a question. How much do you know about babies, infants, and their development?
Not too much, not too little. I guess it depends on what we're looking for here.
Here we go. Long story short, I fucked up. So today, I was watching the Eagles game, and I was FaceTiming my girlfriend at the time, and she was with her newborn nephew. And when I say newborn, I mean like was born on Thanksgiving, a month old. And I'm watching the game. I'm talking on the FaceTime. You know that thing where you're like half listening to the FaceTime. And Jalen Reagor, so I can blame him, like returned a punt for like negative 3 yards. The sun came up today. And I exclaimed at the television while still on FaceTime, "Oh, you fucking idiot." And I was like, "Oh, there's a baby there." Granted, he's a month old, but was that the wrong, like, he can't hear that, right?
Well, I think it's less about the baby and it's more about the babies on your team. Well, aren't you gonna upset Miles Sanders and Big Play Slay?
We'll talk about that and stock up, stock down.
No, the baby is not going to retain that, but you know, growing up, there's parents who raise their kids by having them in the womb and playing Beethoven on their stomach. So apparently it filters into the subconscious. If the kid is growing up in the East Coast, in the New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia area,
Maine.
Yeah, it's already coming through. So you're
fake,
you're
okay. State, by the way, right?
What is Maine?
Maine.
Yeah, that's not a real place.
No, not a real place.
If you put a team there, which they won't even do that, but if you did, they probably wouldn't have success and they'd be a fake franchise. So yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. But yeah, so that's just something for everyone to realize when you're talking to month-old babies. Don't watch Jalen Reagor play football at the same time.
Fair enough. Abe, we got an early appearance from our baby on the podcast. It's Mr. Eagleson coming in to preview Dolphins Saints Monday Night Football.
Come on!
The 7-7 Fins versus the 7-7 Saints. Mr. Eagleson, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling amazing, and I just want to
ask you a few questions before you get into it.
Okay.
Is it safe to say that tomorrow night a 7-7 Dolphins team playing another 500 team is the biggest game that you've ever watched in your life as a Dolphins fan?
I guess at this point, yes.
No, they played in a playoff game.
Not since Eagleson's been alive.
Yeah, in 2016 against the Steelers. But that almost felt fake. Like, they got killed the whole time. It wasn't even Tannehill playing.
Okay, so that's a good... I'm glad you brought that up. If, for some for God-forsaken reason, the Dolphins make the playoffs this year... When? You know what? When? Mm-hmm. And let's say you go to...
Going to Tennessee, most likely. Yeah. Well, no, because you'll beat Tennessee, maybe knock them out. Buffalo, potentially. No, because
you would Buffalo beat Tennessee, it looks like. Yeah,
okay, let's call it Buffalo. Let's say you lose that game. Will you look back on that game and be like, yeah, that was fake?
It kind of depends like how it happens, but no. Like, it feels real enough. Like,
Abe, I unfortunately remember. Dolphins fans have come into your life more recently. I've been dealing with them for I guess almost 7 years now.
I'm honestly jealous of you, Jeff.
So I remember the Dolphins Steelers game. Tannehill was the starter. They won seven in a row that season too to make the playoffs.
They won a bunch of games.
And then Tanny got hurt in that last or second to last game. So it was Matt Moore, and they literally from play one trailed in that game.
Yeah.
So I get what he's saying. So if Tua's healthy, will it feel fake? Can we backtrack, though? Because let's preview the football game on Monday night.
Yeah, I wanted to say, Eagleson, tell me how you're feeling going into this game, your thoughts, your prediction, and then I'll go ahead and tell you why you're going to lose.
All right, I feel like you're setting this up to just say it's a trap game with Ian Book type of thing. No? Is that not where you're going with this?
There's no such thing as trapping the Dolphins.
Why?
Because you're fucking 3-point favorites. Like, it's not a trap game. It's not a disrespectful spread to you. You're the Dolphins.
It's Ian Book, though. Like, he's not expected to do it. Okay, no, we're not doing this. Yeah, okay. They're going to win. Like, they're in a playoff spot if they win that game.
Mm-hmm.
The 7th seed. So, like, I feel good about it. I feel confident. Waddle's back. Holland's back. Ian Book sucks. I feel like there's not much. He sucks. Come on.
Don't do this. Based off what?
He's never played an NFL game. That's what it's based off of.
So
Dak
no
Prescott
tape.
Won.
Wait, no
Dak
tape.
Dak Prescott won. So, yeah, so no tape, and Dak Prescott won 13 games as a rookie.
Okay, I guess we'll see what happens, but I am not confident in Ian Book's abilities to beat that stout.
So, okay. All right. So hypothetically, let's say that Ian Book is not Josh Johnson, right? Josh Johnson came out 306 today through the air, looking like a true number one quarterback. Maybe we ship Lamar out. We get a few picks for him. We'll see about that in Baltimore. But
you,
I actually want to discuss that with you later. But let's say Ian Book is like Nick.
Nick Foles won a game today.
Okay, Let's say he throws for 146 yards. One touchdown, but plays a clean game. Sean Payton says, you know what? You're not the one losing the game for us.
He plays a Mac Jones game.
Exactly. He plays a Mac Jones rookie of the year type game. The Saints just shut out Thomas Edward Brady. Does that scare you at all? The fact that their defense can get after
How'd you just have Brady's middle name just ready to go?
That's like a thing. It's like a thing.
I don't think it's a thing.
Does that bring it? Like, you guys are saying Ian Book, but is there a game where they just scrounge together 16 points and they win 16-13?
I mean, I don't see a world where Ian Book is that efficient, I guess. But okay, if he is and it's just all on the defense. I mean, Tua's been great completion percentage leader, right? Like, I think their offense...
There is a stat for everything.
Now, Abe, okay.
They can score more points than the Saints.
Well, you would hope so.
That's how that game works. Now. Exactly.
Usually, that is a fantastic game plan to win a football game.
Exactly. Abe,
I will defend Eagleson for a second because...
Okay, cool. That's all you need to say.
Because Tua, I know we're big anti-Tua people. Mm-hmm. He's
very pro-Tua over here.
He's been good. I would even say he's been above average. He's been pretty good. I'm not gonna lie. Now, what does that mean on a week to week basis? We've seen Tom
on national television.
Yeah, it just probably won't end well. But he's been good. I don't like the Saints could obviously just shut him down.
Right.
We'll see.
Let me say something real quick. Eagleson, you look great tonight. By the way.
Thank you.
New haircut, head looks all good. Yeah. What is your what's your favorite sport?
Football.
Okay. For the sake of the question, just
hockey.
Okay. Now, I used to follow hockey a long time ago when the Flyers were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always this thing I noticed called playoff beards.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't shave until they lost.
Yes.
And I've noticed that you got a haircut. And the Dolphins have won how many in a row?
Seven?
Yeah. Seven. And you're familiar with the term.
Six.
Whatever. You lose track when it's that many. Yeah. And you're familiar with the term, don't fix it if it's not broken?
Yes, I am.
So with all that being said, if, like I said, a meteor strikes Earth tomorrow night and the Dolphins somehow lose to Ian Book, mm-hmm. are you willing to accept responsibility for the fact that you got a haircut for the first time during this win streak?
Actually, yes.
Good. Be a fucking man.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I also haven't shaved in those 7 weeks. Not sure if you can tell, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I'll definitely take responsibility for that.
And did this thought cross your mind at all when deciding to get a haircut?
No, actually, this is the first time I've kind of thought about it, and it's definitely making me regret my decision a little bit, but
yeah,
I guess here we are. Can't do anything.
That's just certain
now.
Things that, like, your barber's just cutting off your hair and going, nope. There goes Tua. There goes Waddle. There goes.
He's
Javon
a Steelers
Holland.
Fan too. Maybe he had some other agenda.
Yeah, I mean, look at your damn head.
I'm kidding.
All right. Well, I'm glad you brought up his hair because what was a joke back in mid-November was a joke to you. Was a joke to
me.
It's
just a joke.
Was honestly a joke to you as well, Abe. It was the joke so on Eagleson. Our three-way wager has become very much a competition. Just to catch everyone back up. After the Ravens lost to the Raiders, the Eagles were 1-0. The Dolphins were 1-0.
Well, did we make this bet week one?
Yeah, I snaked you guys into it.
Eagles said, we are sick puppies.
Yeah, I know. Sick in the head. How mad did
you make me that night that you forced me into this bet?
Well, the Ravens were about to play the Chiefs.
And the Eagles put up like 30 in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the Dolphins just beat the Pats.
Patriots in New England. So, yeah. You know, I was getting the people excited. Anyways, the wager is which one of our teams will finish last place. If I lose, I have to do the crate challenge. If Abe loses, he has to spend at most 24 hours in a Waffle House, and for every waffle he consumes, subtracts 1 hour off that total. And Eagleson...
be there for 3 hours.
And Eagleson in last place with a loss has to dye his new mohawk blonde. So, when the Ravens were 8-3, they had a trip to Miami.
The Eagles were 2-5.
Eagles are 2-5. The Dolphins were
1-6. Dolphins were 1-7.
1-7. And the Ravens were
8-3. Holy shit, you guys are poverty.
And at this point in the season, the Ravens are 8-7. The Eagles are 8-7. And the Dolphins have a chance to go to 8-7 with 2 to play. I still favor the Dolphins to finish last.
Yeah. I think I, as of today, am the safest here.
I still think Jack might be the safest.
No, because I...
Who do you guys play, the last two?
Last one is Pittsburgh at home, which I would say that'll probably be the biggest...
Who do you play next week?
We play the Rams at home. So that'll be the same spread as you guys against the Cowboys, realistically.
Nah, not true, depending on if they're sitting their guys.
They're not sitting their guys, Abe.
You never know.
They're not just going to sit their guys for fun. They have a seeding to play for. They will 1,000.
Not necessarily true.
Yes, necessarily true. Give me a scenario. I don't know exactly, but something along the lines of
the Cowboys win tonight,
yeah,
against the Washington, and then next week against Arizona, and Green Bay wins against Minnesota, and either Tampa Bay or the Rams lose, I think Dallas might be locked into the 2 seed.
Okay, so maybe if just like 19 different things go their way. Maybe they're sitting. Maybe, but we'll see. Chances are they'll be playing. So, Abe, we're probably have two similar odds games. Eagleson's Dolphins, 3-point road favorites. Yikes. In primetime, yikes. In Tennessee and against New England?
Against New England. They come to Miami.
You're fucked, Eagleson.
Eagleson probably has the worst odds, but... they had the worst odds when they were 1-7, so and we're here. Anyone want to double down on the wager?
Yeah.
Let's test everyone's pulse on this.
Yeah.
Eagleson?
I'll make it 48 hours.
40? I would do two crate challenges.
No, that's bullshit. No, I mean, that's bullshit.
That sounds like a double down. Eagleson, I don't think you would double down.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right, that's fair. Fair enough.
We'll keep it as is.
We'll keep
but
it
why
as
don't,
is.
While we're on the topic of wagers, we might as well just talk about another one that Jack and I made. The Eagles plus a half playoff games played in to the Ravens. So if the Eagles and the Ravens both go to the playoffs and each lose wild card weekend, I win. Jack, can I get a pulse on how you're feeling with that, knowing that as of tomorrow morning, the Ravens, before the Dolphins game, will, let's just assume, plus 200-ish to make the playoffs, whereas the Eagles are probably going to be minus one something, 175 even, knowing we can clinch next week. Can I get a pulse on how you're feeling with that bet? Standard hun.
A very standard hun. Love the standard hun on this.
What would you think the odds of you winning this bet currently are?
We
can go to Tennessee and win a game on the road in the playoffs. No, you can't. You guys stink.
Okay. All right. I think that's a good transition into stock up, stock down.
No, what do you
think?
Well,
it's a transition, and I'll cover it all. Thank you for your service at this time. First stock up is having a chance, because if you support an NFL franchise pretty much outside of the New York State area and like three other states, you have a chance. You have a chance to win the Super Bowl. You have a chance to go to the playoffs. You have a chance for the number one draft pick. You pretty much have a chance if you are a football team right now. With that being said, the Ravens are one of those teams. Even maybe more interesting, Abe, the Browns have a chance to win the AFC North. With 2 weeks to play, the 7-8 Browns have a chance. So let me just break down for everyone. The AFC North, the Bengals are 9-6. They lead the AFC North with two to play. What makes it interesting, though, is they get the second hottest team in football. The Kansas City Chiefs come to town next week.
Nope, still the hottest.
Yes, I do believe they have more wins in a row than the Dolphins. Sorry, Eagleson. The Chiefs come to town. Could the Bengals go to 9-7? Many would say yes. In week 18, they face off against the Cleveland Browns in Cleveland. Could the Browns win that game? I mean, Abe,
I've seen crazier.
You've seen crazier things. I mean, Houston beat the Chargers, for God's sakes, today. That would put the Browns at 9-8. So the Bengals would be 9-8. For the Browns to get to 9-8, they need to beat the Steelers next weekend. Could the Browns beat the Steelers, Abe?
Yeah.
They could. Would. The Browns would beat the Bengals 9-8 because they beat them twice. Head to head, they would own. The final team in the AFC North is the Baltimore Ravens. They have the worst divisional record.
Who have been dead for the past month.
They have the worst divisional record, and they have the no tiebreaker over the Browns or Bengals. But if the Bengals are 9-8, the Browns are 9-8, the Ravens have a chance to win two home football games in January to finish at 10-7 and not even make the playoffs, Abe. Host a home playoff game, which I bring this all up to answer your prior question. What is my pulse on the situation? I can transparently, honestly, authentically, truthfully say to you right now, I have no clue, given I just don't know who's going to be on the field on Sunday at home against the Rams. They could have Richard Seymour and Chris Wesley and Jonathan Kuminga and Baba Dabubi.
Isn't Jonathan Kuminga an NBA player?
Yeah, and sometimes we play him at the end because we just don't have enough players, Abe. Or we could have Lamar Jackson, we could have Hollywood Brown, Mark Andrews. We could have some players back. I just don't know.
Or all goes well and you have Snoop.
Josh Johnson was quite fantastic today as well for the Ravens.
Yeah, Josh Johnson and Snoop have played some of the best quarterbacking the Ravens have seen this year.
Yes. So that goes to answer your other question, which is the Ravens stink, the Ravens are bad. Here is what is interesting about the Ravens season.
And the Eagles are good.
Marcus Peters was lost for the year. Gus Edwards was lost. J.K. Dobbins was lost. A few injuries to start the season. Wah, wah, wah. People get hurt in football. That's a thing. I get it. Okay. So it's a little tough to start the year. Okay. Now the injuries start to pile up. You lose a couple more players. You lose Marlon Humphrey for the year. Okay. You've lost your two.
It's a lot of, it's a lot of, let me give an excuse and then let me just phrase it as if it's not an excuse. But deep down, like, you're starting with the excuses.
No.
Just sack up.
Joe Burrow threw for 525 yards today. I would like to say it was because he's the best quarterback in the league. He's really good. His weapons are nasty. T. Higgins made a catch today that I have not seen since Randy Moss. It was quite incredible. The secondary that played today was unusable. Jalen Hurts would have thrown for 475 yards.
I don't really know like how he comes in this conversation.
Point being,
it's clearly
this is head. You say the Ravens suck.
Yeah, I do. What? No, I don't. I say they're dead.
That's fair. What is interesting about the Ravens that I didn't realize until I looked at the schedule today, the Ravens have 7 losses this season. They have lost 6 games to teams with winning records and 1 loss to a team with a losing record. It was the Browns with Tyler Huntley by 2 points, and the Browns are 7-8 fighting for the division.
And a loss to a and a loss to a 500 team.
Who?
The Dolphins.
And that's what I said. They have not. They have 1 loss to a team with a losing record after today. And so I think to say that the Ravens stink, maybe their schedule caught up with them. Maybe, you know, losing 15 guys to COVID is tough. These could be excuses. These also could just be facts sometimes.
Or you could just flat out stink.
But I find that hard to believe. Only sure because we're in the playoffs right now, as it stands, with the same record as you guys. And we've been playing the last 4 or 5 games without our quarterback and 2 all-pro corners and multiple other missing pieces. Now, some would argue some of those pieces won't be coming back, which is fair. But some may. And as John Harbaugh said, expect to have all our guys back, and we'll see what happens.
It's not like the Eagles are missing an all-pro offensive lineman and all-pro defensive lineman, but like, yeah, the Ravens are the only team.
No, the Ravens are the only fucking team in the league who have dealt with these injuries and this COVID. So I'll just make that very clear for people who are like, no, it's not even remotely close. We have 30 guys on IR this season. But once again, sometimes facts are excuses. That's what excuses are. They are normally facts framed as an excuse. Ravens have a chance. Dolphins have a chance. Eagles have a chance. Chargers have a chance. Raiders have a chance. Broncos have a chance. Browns have a chance. Pittsburgh has a chance. Cincy has a chance. Patriots, Bills, Titans, Colts. They all have a chance. So stock up to having a chance.
I'm. You know what? I'm glad how optimistic you are for every fan base in the NFL. It's truly admirable of you, given that you have such a large audience that has to appeal to a bunch of different fans. But at the end of the day, your team fucking sucks, and you have to go to sleep with that every single night. And I hope it keeps you up. My first stock up is comedy. So much comedy in the Philadelphia area this weekend. The first and the lesser funny is the fact that every time Jalen Reagor touches the ball is announced I was there on Tuesday night against Washington, he is booed beyond belief. And the funniest part about it is to me that you have other Eagles players, Miles Sanders, Darius Slay, saying, "Hey, don't pick on my son," as if like the mom showed up. That is just perfect comedy to me. And Jalen Reagor is the worst Philadelphia athlete I've watched in a long time. That includes people like Al Horford. That includes people like Al Horford.
Ben Simmons.
I'll get to that. He's part of the second part of comedy. But Reagor being booed, objectively hilarious. Because the fact that Justin Jefferson's about to set this. He broke it. Whatever. Justin Jefferson has the most receiving yards in the first 2 seasons of all time. And Jalen Reagor returned a punt for -3 yards today. The second part of my stock up comedy. And if you're bothered by this, you need to go to therapy. We all need to band together, Snapback fam. Go on Twitter.com, create burners, go to Clutch Sports Twitter and get Ben Simmons in the All-Star game. The fact that Clutch did this for every player, retweet him for a chance, because it's all done on Twitter, the fan voting, and they put Ben Simmons in the graphic on the Twitter, making the All-Star game, he won't make it because it's like 25% media, 25% players or whatever, but 50% fans. If we could somehow get Ben Simmons to be the number one vote getter of all in the fan voting, that would bring a tear to my eye.
How much would you pay for that to happen? Because I know some social media techniques.
Enough. I'll cancel the Eagles Ravens plus a half bet. But, and you know what's funny to me? And I'm not assuming anything about Ben Simmons' mental health, but the fact that Clutch put this out, and it was so funny to not only myself, but so many other people, like, is essentially backhand making fun of Ben Simmons. And he's saying he has all these mental health issues, and that's what's keeping him off the court. It's just like, if you had these mental health issues, don't you think your agency would be behind you a little bit and not just throw you in the fire to Twitter users all over the place and have them clown on you by the name of Abe Granoff? Like, I don't know. But I'm seeing Sixers fans like, this is a disgrace. Nobody retweet this. Grow the fuck up. It's hilarious. Not only because of that, because let's just say, sorry, somehow, like, the Dolphins win tomorrow and Ben Simmons makes the All-Star game. Like, seeing him at the All-Star game with a Sixers logo on his chest one last time, like, do you think he would maybe have, like, the MLB players logo, just like the hollowed out Sixers logo with nothing on it? I just think that everyone needs, for the sake of just camaraderie, comedy, everything, we need to try and get Ben Simmons in the All-Star game this year.
I definitely had that thought cross my mind. But to your point, not going to be easy with
half. I retweeted it twice yesterday, and votes counted twice yesterday. That's four votes.
That's a lot of voting.
Is that true? If I quote retweet it and then retweet it separately, is that two retweets?
Probably not.
Because the quote tweet was just, ha 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 ha.
That should count. I think quote tweets count. I haven't read the fine print on the Twitter rules. My second stock up is being back where we started. Yeah, but as this NFL season has unfolded, a lot has gone down. We discussed it with Eagleson. Think about the trajectory of just our bet, our three teams. Think about, you know, Abe crowning the Cardinals as the Super Bowl contenders out of the NFC.
Yeah, can I
think about, you know, Mac Jones being offensive rookie of the year and the Patriots being the one seed. Think about people claiming that the Chiefs were dead. Think about, you know, Tom Brady being washed up, or think about Matt Stafford being an awful trade, or think about, you know, Aaron Rodgers after week one loses in New Orleans by 32 points and, you know, is his foot okay? Think about all that's gone down this season. And as you take a look at both the AFC and NFC playoff picture, we're pretty much just about where we thought we would be. What I mean by that, Chiefs are the one seed, Bills.
Chiefs are the one seed, and they're going to go to the Super Bowl and then pick out of a hat in the NFC.
And in the NFC, you've got the Rams. I mean, all four division winners were kind of predicted to be. You've got the Packers, you've got the Bucks, you've got the Rams as it currently stands. And you've got Dallas. And so there's a little bit, I would say the wackiest one of the whole thing would be the Bengals in first, which makes me believe maybe Cleveland or Baltimore ends up there. And we just get straight up the odds predicted preseason ends up as the divisional champs. But it is a little crazy. Of course, the wild card teams have a little bit of fluctuation, but Colts are in there. I had the Colts going to the playoffs. The Ravens are in there currently. The Pats are in there. The only team that I think is out that we thought might have been in was Cleveland. Like we said, still has life. And in the NFC, it's kind of the same deal. I don't think there's been any major shocker. Maybe the Seahawks, if you were really
high. That's what I was going to say.
And maybe the Saints, but Jameis got hurt. So what's crazy is out of this insane season, we've got the Chiefs.
I'm, go-
We've got the Chiefs as Super Bowl favorites. We've got Rodgers for the 19th straight year as the NFC favorite, who will obviously lose in the NFC Championship. And it'll probably happen.
Won't even go to the NFC Championship.
Yeah, it'll probably happen to Stafford and the Rams or Tom and the Bucks, and that'll be that. Pretty crazy if you think about it.
I predicted the Eagles to make the playoffs for what it's worth. I said two teams out of the NFCs were going to get in, and I was right. But, yeah, I mean, it is shaping up mostly to what we all thought. I think in the NFC, it's really just Seattle, just because they have Russ. But at the end of the day, they don't have a good 53-man roster. And the AFC...
Cincy's definitely the surprise. No doubt about that. But outside of that...
I think New England's a surprise.
Yeah, I would say New England's definitely a surprise.
To be honest, the Ravens are a surprise.
That they're not in.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they are in the playoffs. So
yeah.
So yeah. That's what I'm kind of going off of, is teams out of the playoffs. Which couldn't be my team at the time of this podcast recording.
Couldn't be mine either. Start it now. Let's run it.
If the playoffs started today...
The Eagles would be going to, the Ravens would be going
to Tennessee. It would be amazing.
And the Eagles would be going to L.A. twice in the same month.
Different months, January and February.
Right.
It's been a little. You can't forget what the Super Bowl is. Yeah,
it's been a few years. My second stock up, and this might also come to a surprise, is Baker Mayfield. That guy sucks.
Yo.
Stinks.
It's unfortunate.
Like, I actually think that, like, I'm watching him throw the ball against Green Bay yesterday. He's like, everything is off his back foot. Everything looks like he's throwing it like a little girl's throwing, or a little guy's throwing a baseball, or trying to see who can throw the ball the farthest. And it's just like, you know what? Every time Baker Mayfield throws the ball, what I hear in my head?
Yeah.
And it's just like, damn, that guy sucks. Cleveland gave him everything he needed. It didn't work out. But the reason I stock up Baker is because he's going to get out of Cleveland. And he's going to get a job somewhere else.
Oh, he's going to get
He'll get a job somewhere else, and it won't be in Cleveland. And for how, like, people forgot that the Browns were the Browns for like a year and a half because they just were competent. And when you aren't for 25 years and then you just are for a year and they won a playoff game, like, people forget about that. But at the end of the day, the Browns were still the Browns. They failed Baker. Baker failed them. It's just like, time is a flat circle when it comes to Cleveland. They're going to lose Baker. They're not going to be, they're not going to draft the next guy, right? You've seen the famous jersey of 40 different Browns quarterbacks names, but Baker wins this divorce because he can go somewhere else that isn't Cleveland. Like, who do you think is more likely to have success at post-breakup? Baker in a new team, let's just not even say what team it is, or the Browns as they stand?
Browns.
Really?
This Browns? Dude, I picked the Browns to win the AFC North. Their roster is so damn good. They almost beat the one seed Packers.
But, Jack, nobody's signing up to go play for
the Browns. I disagree with that. I disagree. Abe, let's remember, Tom Brady left the greatest dynasty in sports to go to Tampa Bay. I know it's warm.
Yeah.
But Tampa was definitely on the same, you know, kind of path as the Browns.
And he got to bring Gronk with him, and
I understand. For one or two years, Deshaun Watson. Maybe if Watson goes there, Watson is not in a position to say no. He doesn't let others do it.
Yes, he is.
He can't do it himself, all right?
Yes, he is. He has a no-trade clause. He gets to choose where he wants to go.
Okay, and then when no one wants him to be their quarterback,
he just keeps collecting cash and sitting on his ass and not getting CTE. It's a good fucking gig.
I think he'd rather redeem himself and play football. Regardless, they will be able to get... But to your point, will Baker get a job elsewhere? The Panthers... That's the biggest.
That's Snoop.
No, but I'm saying the fact that they brought back Cam, they benched him for Sam Darnold for like three plays, brought back Cam again, then benched him for Sam again, and they even traded picks for these quarterbacks in the first place. Yes, Baker Mayfield will be a starting quarterback next season. I think you kind of got to give the look to Case Keenum down the stretch here for Cleveland. Is that like out of control to say, or that's like within reason?
It wouldn't be, it would be out of control to say if Baker didn't very evidently need to get surgery tomorrow. Like, the second the Browns are eliminated or they're done for the season, Baker's going to have shoulder surgery. Like, he sucks. Don't
left
get me
shoulder,
wrong.
Left shoulder, though.
Right, but it's like the way he throws across his body to the left side of the field, like, you can see it. And it's, don't get me wrong, he sucks, right? Shoulder aside. But you got to watch him and actually understand that that shoulder is definitely affecting him.
But that's why I'm saying, that's why I would almost look at Keenum even more, because you got to give the kid
that's why I'm saying it's not, like, it's win or go home, so it's like, which guy today gives you the best chance to win?
And we don't know. That's nuts. And Joe Burrow's the best.
That's very that's very Browns
the division today. Just barely over Josh Johnson. Did you stock up number two yet?
Yeah, Baker.
All right, stock down number one. The Jets and the Giants. I mean, come on. Like, I know New York sports is bad, but
the Giants. I will have this conversation. And I'll ask you the same question. The Giants are the 32nd best team in the NFL.
Who's their quarterback?
I don't give a fuck.
If it's Daniel Jones, no. Which is nuts to say. No. But if it's Jake Fromm, who do you... It has to be the lowest... Like, if they... You know how there's stat for everything. If you said quarterback attempted 15 attempts, right? That's the minimum threshold. What's the least yards per attempt in NFL history? It would
probably
shock me.
Probably somewhere something that Wentz had last year or the year before.
Dude,
that.
He had 17 attempts for 25 yards. That's 1.5 yards per attempt. That is that's bizarre. That I've just never seen that before.
My the Giants are the Giants are the worst team in football, and it's not close. They are an embarrassment of an organization, and their day start. If you're a Giants fan today, you went 1-1 today. You went 1-0. By losing to the Eagles, getting smacked, getting embarrassed, and just being a very, very awful team. But you also lost today because of what Schefter tweeted at about 10 a.m. Like, it is nuts that they are going to bring back Joe Judge and Daniel Jones, and that they have not just absolutely cleared house since the boat picture. Why do you love Daniel Jones?
Because Daniel Jones is so far from the main issue. There's no.
What I'm saying. The fact that they're not tearing it down from the top up. You take Saquon Barkley with the second overall pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't tear it all down. I would start with the GM. There's no doubt that you need a culture change there. I think Judge and you brought in Jason Garrett and Freddie Kitchens. Like, no shit, this was going to happen. But I think, you know, they've had moments this season. Saquon's
what does that
go.
Mean? They've had moments this
they've had
season.
Had moments that you could
they beat build. The Eagles.
Yeah, they've had moments where you could build off of. And I just think the GM is as bad as it gets. Look, they're not a good football team, but
they're the worst football
team. They're really bad. But I don't know if it's only because of Judge and Jones. And they've done a lot of rebuilding recently, you know, over the past 10 years, that to tear it all down, it just takes a while. Anyways, stock down to the Jets, even when they're bad.
It takes way longer when you continue with this organization that they have.
Even when the Jets are bad, they're not quite bad enough to lose the December game that they just need to fucking lose. Just, they screwed Abe last year out of a lot of money. And they just did it again this year. They end up with Zach Wilson instead of Trevor Lawrence. And now they beat the Jags for no good reason instead of just letting... Like, it was third down with 13 seconds to go. They're up 5 points. I would have taken my players off the field and straight up fucking tanked the game. Because you know what my team has proven me? They're fighters. In December, they battled and they won this game. But for 13 seconds... I don't need it to show my record. I would rather have the first or second pick in the NFL draft. Why are they so bad at losing these games?
It doesn't fall on the coaches. It falls on Zach Wilson. Also, one of the worst quarterbacks in football. Sick run today, dude, you cute little bitch. when you're Zach Wilson and... You understand the position that you're in. You were taken with the second overall pick in a big market They've given you the temporary, you're our guy patch. Prove to ourself you're the guy. You have a few years to prove it. That means you as Zach Wilson need to be very self and team aware. You need to look around at your team and say, wow, we suck. And then you need to go out there as Zach Wilson. And in order for you to get paid down the line, to get that second contract, to show that you've proved, you need to be the one to tank. Because coaches' jobs are based on wins and losses, whether they're hired, whether they're brought back at the end of the year. The coaches are always going to try and coach a winning football team because they want to stay employed. And for the most part, quarterbacks are as well. But when you're Zach Wilson in his rookie year, you know that you're there for the next 3 or 4 years. Do everything you can this year to put yourself in a better position in year 3 and 4 to prove to them, hey, I didn't suck that much. Why don't you pay me? And in order to do that, you need to get more draft picks. You need to keep your salary cap. And that's why the fact that the New York Jets are so bad at being bad, it points to certain players. Like Zach Wilson has to know, I have to throw this game today. Robert Saleh has to go out there and try and win this game as a first-year head coach. Zach Wilson does not.
Right. That's a great point, Nick. I appreciate bringing that up.
Mm-hmm. My first stock down are New Year's resolutions. One, if you want to do something, do it tomorrow. I don't give a shit.
I kind of disagree with you on that. So, Abe, what's funny is I agree with your point. I totally say this all the time. Someone's like,
If it's April 21st and you want to change something about your life, you're going to wait till January 1st?
Right. No. But I do think goal setting and actually using timing is a good plan. So, to your point of it's not April 21st, it's December 26th. If you really want to set a New Year's resolution, I'm all supportive of you. Go ahead.
Bill Belichick isn't. Bill Belichick is not. There was just a great piece of content that came out of the Patriots game today. They lose a tough game to Buffalo. They really weren't in it whatsoever. And credit to the balls on this reporter, this woman, who obviously you know that the devil that is Bill Belichick at the podium. Like, if you want to talk about walking on eggshells, talk about being in the Patriots media room after a loss. She goes, football aside, I'm writing a piece on New Year's resolutions. Would you like to tell your fans if you have any or any advice? No, maybe next week. So I don't fuck with New Year's resolutions. And clearly Bill Belichick doesn't either. And we are two of the smartest minds in sports. So I think that should show you that New Year's resolutions are dumb.
You didn't even follow it up. She got back on the mic and re-asked the question, Abe.
She asked it twice?
She was relentless. She did not stop. She, you know, she had that don't quit mentality.
I'll give her
credit, Abe. Did you see what Belichick said earlier in the week? He said he apologizes to the media for not being kind. He understands how he is tough. So maybe she's like, all right, I know they lost, but, you know, they're still in the playoffs. And Bill's...
Let's parlay that Tuesday comment with a fun question right here and see how it goes. It's a fat L. Yeah. But, Jack, let me ask you a question. If you today on December 26th, we got a little under a week till the new year, had to just think of a random New Year's resolution for yourself off the top of your head, what would it be?
Off the top of my head, I would... something like tangible or like a concept. So what I mean by that,
it's your New Year's resolution.
I would say my goal, my New Year's resolution would be to practice not getting too high or too low. That would be mine. I would want to actively participate in that mindset. For example,
mine would be just
go ahead. Perfect example, just for shits and gigs. Like when the Knicks are 5-1, maybe don't just be an asshole that the Knicks are going to win the championship. And when they're 13-17, don't be like, you know, the NBA season is over. Just stay somewhere in between those two. But go ahead.
My New Year's resolutions is very simple. Stop giving a fuck. 90% of that has to do with sports.
Yeah.
The other 10% are the little things in my life that get under my skin. But 90% of that is stop caring about a oblong ball in a basket. Stop giving a shit about it.
That thing bounces in directions you cannot predict. Surely not.
Stop giving a shit about it.
Stock down,
which will never happen. No, that's why New Year's resolutions are stupid.
Right. Stock down number two is going to go to December football. This one's just a self-loathing. Absolutely. You know, this is our podcast, also my podcast, also your podcast. It's just like December football was a really dark time for the Ravens. It just was not fun.
It was bright as the summer for the Eagles.
We saw three quarterback start. We lost all four games. It just was not enjoyable. But not to get too low, because I don't want to, you know, have seasonal depression.
No, you got a week to get too low.
True.
I told you, this doesn't start till next week.
But on Jan 1, I want to flip the script and say, January football, that's where the playoffs are. Ravens have two home playoff games to go. And things could be brighter on the other side. So I'm excited for 2022. We're going to have to figure out when we record our pod going into 22, maybe some resolutions for the podcast, but stock down December football, not to mention Texas did not participate in a bowl game, which might have been a plus. We did get Quinn Ewers, but overall, just a porous month for the general game of football, but we're headed to the playoffs, and the playoffs should be better.
My second stock down is Twitter. Usually love you guys. I'm right there with you through all the fights, through all the content and everything. But Twitter, when you try and get Kirk Cousins on the Eagles for a first round pick, that's where I draw the line. That was the reports leading up to this.
I saw it and I liked it.
I'm sure you did, Jack. I am sure you did.
I think Kirk would be a great quarterback for you guys.
For you?
But no.
To watch
He's better than Jalen Hurts, obviously.
Let's compare their wins and losses this year.
Let's compare. Let's take the quarterbacks and let's use wins and losses as the statistic for comparison. Yeah, that's what you want to do. All right, let's compare Ryan Tannehill with Kyler Murray. Let's compare freaking Blake Bortles.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. Okay. But if you think Kirk Cousins is better than Jalen Hurts, grow up.
He is. Objectively, subjectively, and Lee, he is. He just is. Wrong. It's not even.
Fine. You know what? Fine. He can prove it in Minnesota for the next 5 years. That's fine. Okay. Keep him away from my team.
Okay. That's fine.
Ugh, Kirk.
Are you going to. Before we take a break, because basketball's on the other side of this, can we get some acknowledgement on the Arizona Cardinals?
Yeah. I didn't realize how bad Cliff Kingsbury was.
With that being said, yeah, he was pretty bad. I mean, when your team leaves actually 9 points on the field, and that's not even talking about like turnovers or fourth down stops, like two missed field goals, a missed extra point, a safety, like that really.
Not to mention every false start, like all the disciplinary football of the Arizona Cardinals is non-existent.
Is brutal.
And that falls on the coach.
Do you have any. Sorry, I'm just looking in your apartment. Is there any consistency in there? Because Kyler Murray. I mean, that's your guy. So I'll let you start. But Kyler Murray
has thrown a lot less interceptions than Lamar Jackson this year.
I'm not talking about Lamar Kyler. I'm talking about in general the love for Kyler Murray, he's just not reliable on a week-to-week basis. Like, how was he...
I don't think that's fair to say.
I do think that's fair to say. Not to mention he's super injury-prone. I think he's missed four games in back-to-back years.
I don't think that's fair to say in the point that he's just consistently gotten better every year he's been in the league.
You think he's better this year than last?
By the numbers.
Was he a rookie last year?
No, it was his third year.
I just, on a week-to-week basis, he's not consistent. And because of that, that's why I call the Cardinals the premier cuties. They are the premier cuties in the NFC. Like, if you had to rank all the teams that are cute, starting with the Cardinals, that's where I would start. In the AFC, it's actually tough to pick out who the cutest team is. I would say
they're literally all ugly, but the Chiefs.
Right, they're just no. I think the Bills Chiefs AFC Championship game is going to be a pretty good one.
Yeah, those are the only two teams you can confidently say. But what do you think the Cardinals would be with Kyler, with their whole roster, with a good head coach?
I think they'd be in a similar spot. I think they ran a little hot early in the season, and they're just kind of coming. They're back to where they are, which is they'll probably land at like a 11-6 football team.
I mean, they lost D-Hop. Like, that's a big loss. Sure, they're probably not going to the Super Bowl, as I predicted, but don't try and put that on Kyler Murray. Don't.
I mean, he's been brutal the last couple of weeks.
Don't.
He's been brutal. And don't. You want to say Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley? I just, Colt McCoy came in. He won a couple games. He's a Longhorn legend. I'm just saying. There's things to think about. We're going to take a quick break. After the break, great games on Christmas Day, I think some of us will say. But more importantly, let's just have a whole little section on LeBron James. Look, COVID, look, GM, look, not washed. Anything else that may come to mind. We'll be right back. All right, fam, we are back. Real quick, because the Cowboys are playing right now, Abe. Trayvon Diggs just had his 11th interception. Michael Parsons is minus 50,000 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's plus 300 to win Rookie of the Year. Are they screwing each other? They don't really take away from each other because they're playing such different positions, but should one of the Cowboys' defensive players win, or are we just giving it to, like, Garrett or Watt or Donald? What are we doing?
Giving it to Garrett, Watt, or Donald because they were born in the lap.
Michael Parsons was born
Parsons. No, he was born in Happy Valley.
Yeah.
He was born in Happy Valley.
So you don't think either one of them gets it?
No.
Michael winning it as a rookie, like he could be the defensive player of the year. He really could be.
He should be. The way that he plays, he drops back in coverage. It can cover slot receivers. Like, yeah. He's an animal.
Yeah. He's a beast. All right. To the hardwood. NBA Christmas. We'll start it early. Knicks blow out the Hawks. That was kind of expected. Kemba walked.
Which means, yesterday was Christmas, which officially makes the Knicks 1-0 on the season. And, Jack, the Sixers just beat the Wizards by a lot of points, and Joel had a lot of points himself. Therefore, two basketball teams on this podcast are undefeated. And if you just woke up or you live under a rock, and you care about anything that happened before Christmas in the NBA, grow up.
Fair.
Because the NBA season starts
And today. That's why they started All-Star voting.
Yesterday.
That's why they just started All-Star voting. So if Ben wants to come play, he still, you know, could get in there. He's missed a game, but that's only one. The Kemba Walker shit, though. I mean, holy poverty franchise. Thank God the Knicks play in New York, because up 18 against the Hawks. I mean, everyone knows no lead is safe against the Hawks, right, Abe? I think Abe was muting himself on GarageBand there. Sorry, everyone. No lead is safe against the Hawks. The Knicks are doing like a, you know, trying.
Make-A-Wish.
Yeah,
Make-A-Wish triple-double edition.
But yeah, trying to do a Make-A-Wish for Kemba Walker's triple-double. He had 9 rebounds in the game. There were 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Guys, just play the game. Like, he clearly was getting rebounds. Like, Alec Burks is like boxing out to the baseline of the sideline, and whatever. He ended up getting the triple-double. It was quite embarrassing, but Knicks, big win over the Hawks.
Where do you put this this mismanagement of Kemba Walker? Like, what's going on? Right? He's benched for 3 games. He comes back. Is it a chip on his shoulder type thing? Everyone was just wrong about him, or was he just actually playing awful basketball and now he's just coincidentally playing great basketball? What is it?
I really think it comes down to that last thing. So, like, you know, as we all remember, the Knicks were 5-1, and they were playing good basketball. And Kemba Walker was the starting point guard and was playing really well. And I understand.
The Knicks were 5-1.
They were. They had won 5 of 6 games. This is the first time that starting lineup has played together in over a month. Like, it's just been another weird.
I can pull out those stats for the Sixers.
Exactly. You ran with those forever with the true starting five. Like, I'm pretty sure the Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, and
literally went undefeated.
Right. Had never lost a game and were winning by.
Still have never lost.
Yeah, their net rating was 14 million. Anyways, yeah. He went cold shooting. And so when he went cold, he really wasn't a threat anywhere offensively. And he still is like a traffic cone defensively. Like, he's the worst point guard defensively in the league. when he's, you know, when he's triple doubling or scoring 44, he's a net positive. When he's shooting cold, he's not. So I think it was the right move. Respect to him for, you know, not sulking and staying true to himself. And he's playing well. It will be interesting if he does go through a shooting slump again, what that might look like when the Knicks get all their guys back from COVID. Knicks, I think we're like 15-17 if you count the games before Christmas Day. You know, I still don't think we're a very good team, but, you know, net rating, plus 14.
If Kemba is playing at the level that he is right now since he came back.
Yeah.
For the next month and a quarter, mm-hmm. February 10th, the NBA trade deadline, and you can get a first-round pick for Kemba. I'd give you a first-round pick right now for Kemba if okay. I was the Sixers.
I would accept that immediately.
If he keeps playing like he is and everything?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure you're smart.
Yeah. So Knicks beat the Hawks pretty easily. Game number two on the slate. A pretty good one, actually. Giannis is that guy. He's that dude. He's just that.
He was not in the first half.
I didn't see him in the first half. It was his first game in six.
Yeah, he had 29 points in the second half.
Yeah, and the game winner. And like, he's probably the most underrated player in basketball. Because he is very clearly the best player in the sport.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. No, yes, he's not. He is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
No, he's
yes,
not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Wait. Yes, he is. And it's actually not that close. That's how.
No, you're right. It's not close. It's Kevin Durant, and it's not even.
It's not Kevin Durant. Because Kevin Durant lost to Giannis last season. Game seven. On your home court, I know they're not a real franchise, those Brooklyn boys. He dropped 50 points.
I understand what he did, and he's very, very good.
And the other
But he's not the best player in basketball.
He is. He is very clearly the best player in the sport. And you have to, because you have to factor in, he's the best defensive player on the floor in every single game as well. He's insane.
Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant.
No.
If you're playing against another team, who are you more afraid
Giannis.
To play against?
Well, Giannis.
You're an idiot. You're an idiot. You're dumb.
Giannis.
You're dumb, stupid,
Giannis.
Ignorant, and should be banned from talking anything.
No, because you can't stop Giannis. You can't
the
stop
government. Sh-
you
the
can't
government.
Stop Giannis.
You can't stop Kevin Durant.
Yes, you can. He can
How?
Miss some shots. He can miss some shots. You can't stop Giannis because
nobody's ever stopped Giannis before.
No, not this year.
No,
not last playoffs. No, not
what about the playoffs before that?
Oh, okay. That was,
and the ones before that.
Players can't get better. Kyler Murray's got better in three straight years. Cool, dude. Giannis hit this wall where he said, "You know what? I can get a bucket wherever I want. I can be the best player on the floor." And he turned the corner. It was the same thing.
Then he should probably win Finals MVP again this year, right?
Sure, why not? He won it last year. Why are you saying he didn't win it last year?
No, he should probably win again if he's the best player.
I anticipate him doing that.
Okay. You fucking idiot.
How are you going to say that Giannis...
As if me going out on a limb and saying Kevin Durant's the best player in the world.
Why is Kevin Durant the best player in the world right now? Tell me what metric we're basing this off of. Yeah, are you going to get frozen?
Do you remember the one interview?
27, 11, and 6. And the best defensive player on the floor.
Okay. Okay.
So what do you... how is it not clear?
It is clear. It's Kevin Durant.
It's Giannis.
Because any person on planet Earth, when you say, who would you not want to play against in one game?
Giannis.
The answer would be Kevin Durant.
No, it's not.
Okay. You're wrong. That's fine. And I'm like, I signed up to be your best friend like forever. And like, I'll stick by you. But that doesn't mean you're not
okay,
absolutely.
So this proves my point. Giannis is the most underrated player in basketball.
Not true.
Because he's the best player. I mean, he's the best player. He just is.
He's not.
Okay. That was game two. Celtics blew another lead. Quite laughable, to be honest. Game three, really good
Blow
game.
It up. Blow it up, Celtics.
Blow it up, Boston. Send Jaylen Brown over for Shake Milton, because apparently that's what Daryl Morey can do. Game three, Warriors in Phoenix.
I'd give a first, too.
The Warriors are now undefeated Abe, this season. So we can start talking about basketball. You asked me to wait until post-Christmas. Are you ready or willing to admit the Warriors are title contenders?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, and this is me being a Bron stan and everything. On December 26th, if you don't say there's at least a 90% chance the Western Conference Finals are the Suns and the Warriors, then you don't know basketball.
Suns Warriors?
Yeah. Western Conference Finals.
Really? You're that high on the Suns?
I think they're the two of the best teams in basketball.
Wow. Wait, sorry. The 90%,
I think they're both
one of them being in?
No, both of them getting, assuming seeding works out that way and they're the one and the two, respectively, the Suns and the Warriors are a lock to meet in the Western Conference.
Really?
Finals. Yeah.
Oh, I vehemently strongly disagree with that.
That was a big word.
Okay, I don't think that's if I had to look at it off the top of my head, I don't know yet, but I don't think the Suns are that good. And you know, that's my
That's the Western Conference Finals, and one of those two teams will go to the finals, in my opinion. It's irrelevant. Neither of those two teams can or will win a championship.
That's why the Bucks are going to win it all.
No, the Nets are.
With Kyrie. That's with Kyrie. Without Kyrie, they will not. That will be a sick series, Bucks-Nets, if no Kyrie. With Kyrie, the deck's a little loaded for Brooklyn.
I mean, Kyrie, like, two of them can get it done. I think
they can. That's why I said it would be a great series.
Kyrie and Kevin Durant without James Harden were up like 47 points against the Bucks in a playoff game this year.
I know.
Like, if Kevin Durant is being Kevin Durant, all bets are off the table.
Well, he was being Kevin Durant before he airballed a three in overtime and Giannis beat him on his own floor. But that's neither here nor there. Game four of the night is the one that we really need to talk about. We placed the wager.
The last game of the night.
Yeah, I actually couldn't tell you who won game five. I actually do not know. It's my job to know. I do not know.
The Jazz won by like four.
Nice. Congrats to the
Jazz. As 13 point favorites.
Why would they even put that game fit? Like, who? Why would you?
Cares.
Yeah, that was nuts. Anyways.
It's like the last year or 2 years ago, Clippers Nuggets. Like, no one gives a shit.
But like, literally no one cares about Mavs Jazz.
No.
Even if Luka plays.
No.
No one cares. Although I did look at Gobert's box scores over the last three because I was doing some underdog pick-ems. Do you know what he's, like, doing right now? I know you're going to be like, oh, it's Gobert, whatever. Do you know, like, what
he's... Yeah, he's playing well. Sure, whatever.
But, like, do you know what his stats were?
No, I don't daily keep up with Rudy Gobert's stats.
He's averaging, like, 21 rebounds a game over his last three. Like, it's something bizarre.
Attaboy, Goger.
Anyways, game four, Lakers-Nets. I really, like, I picked the Lakers to win all this season. I thought the Russ thing was going to work.
They suck. They suck. Russ sucks. Like, I think third time's the charm, right? It was the Rockets.
This is Russell Westbrook's worst form. He's
but like, it's like third time's the charm. Like, they tried with the Rockets, didn't work. He went to the Wizards. I mean, it was the Wizards, but still nothing's happening there. And now he's literally causing the Lakers to collapse single-handedly. Like, LeBron's balling. And we'll talk about LeBron in a minute, but like, Russ is done.
I wanted Russ in the Garden because I thought he could still be his wizard self. I think
you wanted him to sell tickets.
No, I think even Russ is his wizard self of last year. He is a shell of that. I want everyone to understand that he is, and it doesn't have to do with the spacing. It doesn't have to do with playing with LeBron.
But Jack, he got a triple double.
He did. So did Kemba, though. So it was just a special day for everyone.
Triple doubles don't mean shit.
So he stinks. AD will be back, but the roster is,
AD's not good either.
He's been pretty bad.
He's not good.
The roster.
People tried to tell me that AD was better than Joel Embiid.
He was. He's the reason they won the finals.
What, like, finals?
The bubble finals, the fake finals.
Right.
Yeah, but they are horrific. They need to make a move at the deadline. They have to.
They can't. They have three guys taking up 90% of the cap and then 13 minimum guys. Nobody's taking on Russell Westbrook.
You don't think anyone takes on Russ's contract?
Not that you're getting value for that LeBron and AD can turn to something that
Cause,
no.
Because the Jets got a third round pick for Sam Darnold. Second round. So there could always be that guy. Bill O'Brien traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. I mean, that's the thing people forget. You don't need the whole league to want Russ. You need one team to be idiots. That's all you need. You just need one. And
it's way easier than in the NFL than it is the NBA, I think.
Yes, of course. But I don't know. It's not that. How many more years does he have on this contract?
Russell Westbrook doesn't make a singular other basketball team in the NBA better.
That's not true.
No, it is.
That's not true.
Pick one
the
team
Magic,
that you could.
The Magic.
What, another volume shooter on a bad team?
He would just make them better.
Relative. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's as bad as they come.
But he would actually hurt he would legitimately hurt the Magic because he would cause them to maybe win a few more games.
Right. In that regard, sure.
He cannot help benefit a singular team in the NBA.
LeBron James
is nasty.
Had 39 points last night, almost carried the Lakers back until Nick Claxton actually took the two things hanging between his legs and put them on. Tattooed right on Bron's forehead. But that's, it was after hours, after dark. Put your kids to sleep. So it was okay. Besides that, he was spectacular. My brother said it to me. Shout out the intern. And I think he had a good point. What LeBron did last night, because he didn't make threes until super late in the game. He actually did what I have been asking and the majority of like anti-LeBronites have been asking. For the first, not actually the first time in his career, but in like a very long time.
What, do what you did in 2016-17 Cleveland playoffs?
No, I'm not talking about like that mentality or take over game type of thing. I'm talking about like no one can stop you, get to the rim. Like we've known that. It's never been his thing to just like Giannis is just relentless going to the rim at all times. Even though no one can stop Bron, he's always like kind of favored passing the ball, shooting jumpers from time to time. Like he never will just like dive to the rim 20 times, and he did it and was unstoppable because you can't stop him. His athleticism it's absurd. He's the greatest athlete probably ever in the grand scheme of things. So that was cool to see. Other than that, yeah, the Lakers sucked. Like. Are they wasting his time? Should he go back to Cleveland after the year? They have a pretty good young roster. Play with Bronny in the Garden. Like, what's our vibe with Bron right now?
He'll bring in another random player to try and see if... He'll just keep trying to bring in random players to see if it works, and he'll get one more ring out of it. It won't be this year.
You think so?
Yeah, he'll get one more. He'll get five.
Okay.
He'll get five. And then Bronny will come to the league, and he'll just go and be wherever he is.
Right. Okay.
Bronny gets drafted to like fucking Detroit.
It's not that time's like running out on LeBron because he's still playing it.
We're gonna find out how much pull LeBron legitimately has in this league when we find out where Bronny goes. LeBron will control that draft.
Could he definitely could potentially, or he'll just be a free agent on a 1 year and go play there.
He's not going. Well, he's not letting. He is not letting his son play in Charlotte.
If his son stunk, maybe.
No, he will control whatever. I don't care how good Bronny James is. He will control where he goes.
Do you think Bronny and LeBron James ticket for game one would be like one of the most expensive basketball tickets ever?
Probably.
Yeah. That would be insane. Probably. We'll talk to
Hopefully TikTok. It's like Pacers Pistons.
Yeah, exactly. No, because they'll know before the season, and they'll obviously make it like...
But the only thing holding that possibility back is LePolitics himself.
Mm.
Do you think LeBron truly runs his own social media?
Yes, because he's miserable at it. And he is
very authentic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, LeBron, you can tell Tom doesn't because, like, we know Tom isn't, like, good at social media because he's 44. Bron, like, fully... He's singing on the story, rap lyrics that he doesn't know. Like,
and then he's making memes. COVID-19 memes. COVID. Cold. Flu. Spider-Man meme. This is... LeBron.
That was a wild move.
At 2:30 on a fucking Wednesday. Just let's shake up. I think it was actually Wednesday when there were no sports on. LeBron's like, damn, nobody's talking about me. Hold my beer. Hold my wine.
Yeah.
And he, did anyone ask him at the podium about that?
I don't think they addressed it.
Because he's talking about the symptoms, obviously, that come along with it.
I also think because of the recency of Omicron, he's talking more about the Omi, which has been a little more mild in the grand scheme of things.
The Omi.
Yeah, the Omi. I mean, we're on our ninth variant. But on a serious note, like, no disrespect. Like, I have gotten to the point where, you know, get vaccinated. I'm for the vaccine. But if you're, like, if you haven't, you're probably not going to do it. And at this point, if we don't know,
it's more of a read the room thing with LeBron. And I think that anything COVID related when the NBA comes back to Karl Anthony Towns.
That's the point. And not to mention, Kat is literally has COVID right now. That just seems like a tiny bit disrespectful.
It's just like, read the room.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. If you're in protocols, that doesn't mean you have COVID, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Because
I don't think it does. I think it means you're exposed or something. Like,
but Kat does have COVID. He actually posted on it.
Yeah, no, I'm not. That's what I'm saying. But it's like when 30 guys an hour are getting put on the COVID list, like, does that mean they're exposed? Does that mean they have COVID?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was the politics was at it.
Yeah, that was wild. And I did see a really funny tweet today because Cole Beasley missed the game today, and you know people are always like, "It's it's better for your team if you're vaccinated. You'll sit out less time, and you'll be able to play more." Blah blah blah. And it was like nothing like owning the libs, like showing how replaceable you are by Isaiah McKenzie. And it was just like, you know, the guy is the guy. But yeah, that was crazy from LeBron. The other topic, the final topic we had, which we kind of talked about, was LeGM. I've said this before. He is the worst general manager ever. And he's going to buy an NBA team and go into playoffs.
What made him think the Russ thing would work? The name of Russell Westbrook?
He's the king of being on a super team, right? So he knows what it takes to win. And I guess his only, like, he couldn't have been with a different super team, right? Like, it was either that or, like, Heald and Marvin.
He could
Bagley.
Have gone, or Beal, or
Dame, like, yeah.
Jack, the Lakers are better this year with Harrell, KCP, Kuzma, than they are with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, they are. They really
they are. They are.
Yeah.
Plus, you can sign other guys and not 15 guys to the minimum, and Stanley Johnson, who that guy can, that guy has heart.
That guy can play.
I saw some good things.
Reeves will be back. I am still in the camp of like, look at how good LeBron is still. AD can still, he's still a force defensively. It's just his shooting is at all time lows. I don't think we've seen a full Lakers team. And remember, like,
I don't think I want to.
that's also fair. I don't know. I don't think the beauty of it for the Lakers is they have like six more weeks where they
and LeBron James.
Yeah. Those are two good things. LeBron for Knox and a third. The Jets third. Think about it. All right, fam. This was a great episode. I'm rooting for the Saints. I'm surprised you're not rooting for the Dolphins. You would rather see Eagleson and Tua's failures than lock up a playoff spot.
That's irrelevant. We control our own destiny.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
Chicago, control what you can control.
All right. Fam.
In all aspects of life.
We'll see you on Thursday. We'll talk 2022. For this, though, 2021, great year so far. Much love.
Peace. Finish strong.